This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره وأستهديه وأعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear brothers and sisters, it is almost agreed upon that the first revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to his and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is Iqra. In that famous event when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was all alone in the cave of Hira. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very first revelation is Iqra, which means read or recite. And then there's the rest of the surah itself in Iqra, or these five verses that make the first revelation are revealed first, and then the rest of the surah comes after a couple of incidents that took place. So I wanted to do a reflection over this surah, and to be more precise, what the surah begins with and what the surah ends with. So the surah begins with اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Recite in the name of your Lord who created. And of course the commandment, the order to read or recite, is repeated again in verse 3. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Recite and your Lord is the most honorable or generous. So the surah begins with this ayah. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read or recite in the name of your Lord who created. He is your Lord because He created you and He created everything and everyone. So the one that created is the one that we owe to respond to and worship and answer to. Does it make sense that He creates and then other than Him to be worshipped or obeyed? So the surah begins with that. But very interestingly, the surah ends with another commandment. So if you were to just to break down the commandments in this surah, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do three things, and He forbade him from doing one thing. So total number of commandments, four. Do this, don't do this, do this, and do this. Three, you know, total of four. And the last command, or the three commandments, so the first commandment is اقرأ, read. And it was repeated in verse 3. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Right? And the other three commandments are all in the last verse. So the surah begins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders His Prophet to do something, to read. And then the surah ends with the following. كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب. Nay, do not obey him. That's a prohibition. Don't obey him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasjud, prostrate, make sujood. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, waqtarib, and draw near, come closer. Very interesting. So let's break this down. And by the way, This is something that every active, actually, you know, I don't want to say every activist or every active Muslim or anyone that, I think every Muslim should reflect upon and understand. Every single Muslim. And those of us who live here in the West, whether you like it or not, you are an activist. Maybe a passive one, a dormant, someone who's not, you know, paying attention to your role and your position in time and history, right? Or someone who's aware of it. And those who are aware of it are of many types, some that are very involved and active and they're on the right path, and others that are just trying different things. But I think everyone, or most people, have good intentions. So it's important for all of us to reflect upon this, because whether you realize it or not, we are representing this religion that began with these commandments. And we are the ambassadors of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Islam is going to be, whether we like it or not, we can tell them all, you know, we can tell people, especially non-Muslims, don't judge Islam, you know, based on what you see Muslims doing, and, you know, don't judge Islam through my actions. You can say that all you want. At the end of the day, Islam, they're going to look at Islam through you, through your actions and the actions of other Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah with Iqra, ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to read. Read and recite. Read in the name of your Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say read what? It's open. Right? Some say, oh, read everything. No, read that which matters. That which you can read in the name of your Lord. Because I tell you, most of us nowadays read. But most of us read things that don't benefit us. Nonsense, complete nonsense, a waste. Things that when we, on the Day of Judgment, see on our book of records, we're going to say, why did I waste my time reading this? What did I benefit? What did I gain out of it? So to help us out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, read in the name of your Lord. Before you read anything, read it in the name of Allah, for Allah. Read it remembering that you are in the presence of Allah. Is it going to bring you closer to Allah? Is it going to teach you something about Allah, about the world? Is it going to make you a better person in the eyes of Allah? Can you, when you read that stuff or look at it, can you say Bismillah in the name of Allah? Or would it not be appropriate? So read in the name of your Lord. And by the way, to complement reading, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to, doesn't tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, use the pen, but Allah azza wa jalla says, اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. He's the one that taught by the pen, taught man that which he knew not. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُ. To tell us that reading should be complemented with writing. If you want to really learn, reading will give you some information. But if you want to learn, then you have to write as well. You have to take notes. You have to analyze. You have to know what you're reading. You have to come to a conclusion. You have to reason. You have to engage what you're reading. And of course, the most important reading or recitation that one must do, and this is important to all of us, but especially Muslims, especially those who are active or take their religion seriously, the Quran. The Quran. And it's one of the most shameful and painful realities is that Muslims don't even read the Quran. We need to read the Quran. Read it and analyze it and take notes. For it has all the answers that we're looking for. Or it will direct us in the direction of where we can find answers. And one of the most destructive elements within this ummah are those people who don't read the Quran properly. Either don't read the Quran or don't read the Quran properly. And these are the people who get fooled the most. Shaitan is able to deceive them. People with whatever agenda they have are able to brainwash them. And you will have these people doing things in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not founded upon the Quran or the prophetic tradition. That's because they don't read. They're blind followers, or they're not, they don't even analyze or think. And then you and I have to answer for their actions and for their choices. And to be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of it. Just because someone does something in the name of something doesn't mean that it's legitimate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide those who are astray. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rid us of those who commit acts of violence in the name of this beautiful religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, read, and He is the one that taught man that which he doesn't know. You cannot be, and I have to be very careful here with my words. You can't be truly an active Muslim and be on the right path if you choose not to read. If you don't read and analyze for yourself, read and analyze and reflect. This religion of ours is not a religion that is based on emotions or blind faith or just, you know, some kind of social affiliation or connection that we have. You can't do that. You cannot be socially Muslim, culturally Muslim. I mean, it does affect your social life and your culture, but you can't, that cannot be the basis of your Islam. Your Islam has to be based upon personal conviction and reflection. It has to be based on ilm, knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. You have to know. And in order for you to know, you have to read. You have to read. We cannot afford. We see what ignorance does. We see what ignorance does. What ignorance has been doing to our ummah. Ignorance, complete ignorance. So we have to read. And we have to teach our children to read and our students to read. And it may not be an easy thing, but we have to. And I feel, by the way, very awkward that I'm saying this. And nowadays we have people who can't read more than 140 characters. And when people start responding or talking or acting or reacting without reading, without analyzing, it could have very devastating consequences. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read at the beginning of your mission, and throughout your mission, continue to read. Read and reflect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we fast forward, the surah tells us about an incident where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying. Then Abu Jahl came and he wanted to stop the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from praying in public or in the haram. You know, Mecca, Muslims are now heading there to perform Hajj and Umrah. MashaAllah, and there was a time where our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam couldn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or praying there was very risky. For those of us who are, you know, we think, I'm trying to hide my identity. I want to take off anything that might identify me as Muslim because that's going to keep me safe. Imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba thought like that. Where would this religion have been? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at some point, someone came and it was very risky and he was risking his life. But, you know, what is life without religion? What is life without deen? What is it that we live for? Seriously, brothers and sisters, we have to really start confronting ourselves, confronting our own insecurities and fears. And if you get rid of your identity, if you hide your identity, or if you change yourself, so what is this life good for then? Khubayb said, وَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا. So, you want to live as a Muslim and hope to die as a Muslim. But if you want to live, I just want to live. What's the point if you don't have Islam? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Jahl told him, you can't pray here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَا عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. But then at the end, Allah Azza wa Jal, after analyzing and responding to this particular incident, Allah Azza wa Jal tells his Prophet, كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ. Nay, do not obey him. Don't obey him. Don't be intimidated. Don't fear him. Stand up for your right. Stand up for your freedom. Stand up for your religion. Don't hide. Don't shy away. You can't afford to do it. Your followers can't afford to do it. Future generations cannot afford to do it. And this is a great lesson to all of us, especially those of us right now who are confronted with all kinds of challenges and we're intimidated, we're scared. Okay, should we hide? Should we keep low profile? Brothers and sisters, we cannot afford it. We cannot afford it. Future generations cannot afford it. And if there's any lesson that history should have told us or taught us, whether it's our history or the history of any nation, the history of any civilization, of any people that sought freedom and dignity and glory, is that when you do not stand up for yourself, when you allow your oppressors or those who try to intimidate you or scare you, when you allow them, when you give them way, and when you give them the chance to do that, you're emboldening them. You're not making the situation better. Those of us who hope that, okay, if I hide maybe long enough, maybe I'll just survive, I'll make it, and then they will go away. They're not going to go away. Never happened in history. You're emboldening them. So, you're making the situation worse or harder for the future generations. Someone at some point has to stand up and say, enough is enough, we're not going to put up with this. Wrong is wrong. Demand justice and stand up for what is right. And if something happens to you, at least your offsprings or the future, the future is going to be much better for our children. But if we compromise, if we change, if we stop praying, if we stop wearing hijab, if we change our names, if we change our identities, what is going to happen? And I tell you, we may lose a generation or two, but there will come in the future of our own offsprings, people who will look back at us and curse us. History does not celebrate or show mercy to cowards. It doesn't. It only celebrates those who stand up with courage for what is right. And you and I have every right to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sujood to Allah azza wa jal. And no one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ. Do not obey him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wasjud, pray, make sujood. Continue to make sujood. And I do not understand how could anyone be active, especially in the field of da'wah, or represent Muslims and who doesn't pray. How? How? Where are you going to get the strength that you need? Where are you going to get the motivation that you need? The clarity that you need? The guidance that you need if you don't make sujood? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his prophet and he teaches us that sujood. Wasjud. Make sujood. To Allah, especially at night, especially when someone is, with no one is seeing you, make sujood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, waqtarib, and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let that be your aim. Our goal is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jalla tells us through his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my servant continues to draw closer to me through what I have obligated him to do. There is nothing that will bring you closer to Allah. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. There is nothing that is better than that which Allah has obligated you to do. So fulfill the fara'id, the obligations first, and then continue to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get closer to Allah azza wa jal. This is what this surah ends with. وَاقْتَرِبْ, get closer to Allah azza wa jal. Let that be your aim. Not get, you know, getting closer to anyone or appealing to anyone or appeasing anyone is not going to get you anywhere. The one that you should be focusing on is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get closer to Allah. And the quickest and the only way to bring you closer to Allah is to fulfill the obligations. And then continue to pursue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not stop there. And it's very interesting that Allah azza wa jal mentions sujood and then he mentions iqtarib. Get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you're in sujood. That's the closest. So any special dua, any special need, any special complaint that you have, get up, make wudu, and pray, and in your sujood, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Confess to Allah azza wa jal, and ask Allah azza wa jal. I say this and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and I of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Please move forward and fill in all the gaps. Barakallahu feekum. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وبعد. إن شاء الله تعالى tonight we have discussion at 8 p.m. and until Isha, titled The Devil's Deception. I invite you all to join me, inshallah ta'ala, tonight for this discussion. It's part of our Friday family night program. And we also have the Hajj workshop this Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For those who are going to Hajj and those who are not going to Hajj, very basic introduction of the Hajj and the various rites and rituals of Hajj, and it will be delivered by Sheikh Mustafa and myself. Also, this Monday we are, inshallah ta'ala, going to be holding, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us, we're going to perform Salatul Kusuf, eclipse prayer, inshallah azza wa jalla, at 10:30 a.m. And it will be a great opportunity for us to understand or learn what the prophetic tradition is when there is an eclipse. I know a lot of people are, you know, they might be excited and they're waiting for it and, you know, to happen, to observe and take pictures. But that's not what we are taught to do when, and whether it's a solar or lunar eclipse takes place. The Prophet ﷺ taught us what to do, and that's what we want to focus on. And I just want to remind you and myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran told the Prophet, when you are confronted or when you are dealing with challenges, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always tells the Prophet to pray. And by the way, ever since this was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are told, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا حزبه شيء فزع إلى الصلاة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever something overwhelms him or whenever he's confronted with a challenge, the Prophet ﷺ would rush to pray. Salah. Salah is a key ingredient, an element. Without salah, you will not see happiness or success, whether it's in your own individual life or family life. And we cannot succeed. We are the ummah of salah. That's our connection with, you know, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great opportunity, inshallah azza wa jal, for us to learn the sunnah of Salatul Kusuf. It is to be performed in jama'ah in a masjid. So it's not something that you can do on your own at work or at home. So please join us if you can, inshallah azza wa jal. The OC Eid committee, inshallah ta'ala, is announcing that the Eid prayer tickets are now available. You can get them from Islamic Institute of Orange County, Islamic Society of Orange County, Islamic Center of Irvine, and Dar al-Falah Center in Tustin. Same thing as Eid al-Fitr. It's going to be $1 per person for 10 years old and up. Inshallah azza wa jalla, you can purchase these tickets. They're going to be available outside as well as in the office or any of these other masajid, inshallah azza wa jalla. And once the official announcement is made of the Eid day, you will be told, inshallah azza wa jalla, it will be held at the Angels Stadium. بإذن الله تعالى ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. عباد الله, إن الله أمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.